Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
You know who's going to get into heaven? Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Santorum. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Mitt Romney. Let me tell you who's going to get into heaven, Tea Party. When I was hungry, you fed me. You didn't cut food stamps when I was thirsty.
Oh, you lying hypocrite. You live in a gated community, a million-dollar house, you liar, you. I can't take any more of the hypocrisy of these fake reverends, can you? I can't stand it. Now, if he was just another street preacher who had no history tied to the presidency, we would say it's a redundancy. But the fact of the matter is, this man is out there again, and I'm the only one who seems to be playing it. So if you'd rather I don't tell me, if you say, oh, I've heard it before, we don't care about Reverend Wright, then say I don't care about Bill Ayers. Then say I don't care about any of the other connections to Obama's connections to Marxism. Please don't tell me anything about his desire to destroy the petroleum industry. Please don't tell me anything about his desire to raise gas prices. Please don't tell me about his desire to raise food prices. Please don't tell me about his desire to make people a pit against one another, black against white, white against black. Please don't tell me about any of those things because I don't want to hear it. And you're the bad guy for being the bearer of bad tidings. Kill the messenger. Kill the messenger. Throw him off the radio show. Kill the messenger. Throw him off the radio show. And then just put on a light conversation. Light conversation. Light conversation. Light conversation. And then let these racists rail all over the media. Let these racists rail in the streets. Let these racists attack you, but say nothing about it. Let them attack Thomas Jefferson and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, calling them ignorant, and I should say nothing. I'm an educated man. I can guarantee you as I sit here that this fraud, this Reverend Wrong, who attacked these people, never read them. I could tell you right now, I can hear it in the cadence of his voice. He doesn't even know what the hell he's talking about. I don't know who wrote it for him. Who wrote the speech for him? Attacking the leaders of the liberal enlightenment of the 18th century. Why would he attack them? A, because they're white. B, because they're real liberals. And C, because he wants a new feudalism ruled by lords, inhabited by peasants. And who's the lord? In the hateful world of Reverend Wrong, Obama is the lord, and you're the peasant. So I'm not going to play much more of this. I can read you other news if this is making you uncomfortable. But you have to understand something. The gibberish that Wright is advocating from the pulpit of that church is what your daughter is being taught at Princeton. It's what your poor son, that little baby that you saw come from your womb, ladies, this little boy has had his brain destroyed at America's universities, being told that whites think they have privilege because they're white, that all whites are evil, all people of color are victims, all cops are bad, all criminals are good. You know that the number of cops being killed has gone up 78% last year? Do you think it has anything to do with the hatred coming out of some of these mouths? Why are more cops being killed even though crime is down? Why are more people shooting at cops than ever before? Anybody have an O word for that one? Oh, I don't know. Oh, I have no idea. Oh, I wish you didn't ask that. Oh, my, I think I'm going to listen to football. Oh, no, I don't want to hear that. Oh, I think I'm going to hear a baseball game. I think, oh, no, don't ask that. Why, cops are being killed in greater numbers than before O took office. Oh, don't say O. Whatever you do, O, don't say O. Don't say O. No, no, no. Heck no, we won't say O. So, oh, go to michaelsavage.com for fun. If you want to see fun, go to my website. Why? Because I put up new pictures for my birthday party under the hook eye. The nice Muslim fellow with one eye and a hook. UK can extradite Hook, handed cleric, and four others to the U.S. He's Britain's most recognizable extremist. It's taken 4 years to deport him to America, while they banned me without even giving me a trial. It took 4 years to deport this superb individual. One Eye is coming here with the Hook. I don't know whether or not he will be hired by the Justice Department to man the polling places. We don't know that yet. Allegedly, he's coming here to face terrorism charges, but it is possible that he is of such supreme character that he may be hired by Eric Holder to man a polling place in Boca Raton with the Hook. There's the article. Violent crime falls as killing of officers rises. You know, when you're dead, you're dead. A disturbing trend has emerged. Cops are being killed. And most of them are white cops. Sorry, I'm sorry I had to say that. New photos of Dr. Savage's celebration. We've taken Teddy off the lead and put a beautiful woman up because I figure, I don't know, they like dogs, but they like women better. Now, why do I want you to look at these pictures? What do I know? What do I know why I want you to look at them? They're nice pictures. You'll see I actually have friends. You'll see that they're normal. You'll see that they smile. You'll see that they eat. You'll see the plates of food that they're eating. You'll see, they're people just like you. No matter how you demonize me, the people are just like you and I. That's so nice people. Dog's nice. People are nice. It's all on the website. It's free. Nothing, not selling anything. The wedding cake is nice. And that's it. Nice pictures, new pictures. I'm going to put a few up again later. I don't know whether you want to hear any more about Dr. Wrong or Reverend Wrong, but we can do it if you want. I mean, you want me to talk about Reverend Wrong? Yes, we can. Yes, we can talk about Reverend Wrong all day long. Now that Vest is gone, we don't have to talk about Vest. We still have Tubby to deal with. I have nothing against overweight people because Chris Christie's a little overweight. I like about 50% of him. The other 50% I could do without. If Christie were to lose 50% of his girth, I hope the 50% that he loses is the liberal part of himself. But God knows, you see, that's the problem with a weight loss diet. If Chris Christie went on a crash diet to be more attractive as a VP candidate, right, with Romney, God knows the part of him he loses could be the conservative part. And then we'd be left with another Joe Biden. So you don't, you know, be careful what you wish for. You know where what is going to end up. He's got some bean on in this guy. But sometimes he speaks, and I like what he says. He says, nation now consists of people sitting on the couch waiting for the next government check. That I like. But I don't know which part of him it's coming from. Is it the fat part or the thin part? Because if he goes on to a diet, I don't know which part. You know, a lot of people, when they lose weight, they get mean and angry, and they become liberals. You see, in order to be a conservative, you know, heavy people are generally conservative because they're happier. They feel better about themselves. They let themselves go a little. But once you go on one of these extremist bicycle diets, where all they do is bike and have lean body mass and they're pinching themselves, they eat Pablum for breakfast and bananas for dinner, they never enjoy a minute of their lives. They become diehard psychotic left-wingers, run people over in San Francisco. That's going on. It's an epidemic here. Where was I before I got distracted by bicyclists in jester costumes who are too thin? Oh, Chris Christie saying the nation's turning into people sitting on a couch waiting for the next government check. Yeah, but Chris, listen, that's only 50% of the people. Obama would like to see it at 90% of the people, not 50. You know, everybody should be sitting on a couch waiting for a government check, eating the government cheese. Playing backgammon and driving a 1956 Buick, like they do in the home country of Cuba. Obama's running his campaign on Marxist tenets. Every tenet of Obama is a Marxist tenet. Fear, jealousy, those are the mantras of the Democratic voter. Because of the racial bias and the anti-capitalist nature of Obama, he is exhibiting all of the tenets of Marxism. He associates with the rich, gets his money from the rich, and then makes believe he's one of the so-called 1%. Can you believe this? Ruling with fear and envy. Ruling with fear and envy. That's all he's living off, on the fumes of envy. In fact, most of the millionaires in this country have started from very humble backgrounds. They have started from very humble backgrounds. And the reason progressives hate them is because they've lost. They tried it themselves and couldn't make it. So they fell back to their hippie mentality, which is that anyone who has money is a crook. And they hold on to that mythology because they wasted most of their youth smoking pot and on left-wing stupidity. And so therefore it must be true that anyone with money is a crook. And that's why they hate anybody who's done better than them. It's all jealousy. It's all it is, the have and have-nots. Watch the movie Burn with Marlon Brando. They won't be happy till they burn down the sugar plantation and they won't have anything to eat. And who will they blame then? I'm going to take your calls when I come back. We're going to talk more about trickle-down tyranny. We're going to, well, there's so many things we can do today on the Savage Nation. I got callers saying, well, here's a reformed Dem. The other likes trickle-down tyranny. Another woman says I changed how she thinks. If you care to join the conversation or reach more people than you'll ever reach for the rest of your life or have reached in your entire life, no matter if you're 40 or 14, you've never talked to as many people as you'll talk to simply by picking up that phone and getting on the air and you'll win a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny, then go ahead and call the one open line at 1-800-449-8255. This is the Savage Nation. Back in a moment. Wait, hang on before I go. Back in September, we all paused to remember the 9/11 attacks. That one day changed the very way we all live and think. In fact, the Red Cross now recommends that we have a surplus of food in case of disaster, weather, or power outages. That's why I recommend and personally use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides affordable and complete delicious ready-made meals for emergencies or even camping. I know more about food than anybody in radio. I have a PhD from the University of California in nutrition. These foods are nutritionally sound for good health. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com. Get a free entree sample by entering the promo code SAVAGE, and then you'll get free shipping on any order. SAVAGE. WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE, and be sure to mention SAVAGE for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
Savage.
The God of racists is not the God of righteousness. The God of the greedy is not the God of grace. The God of Wall Street is not the God of Main Street. Those are two different gods. And I ain't talking about Allah and Yahweh. Those are the same name for the same God. And I'm not talking about black and white. That some of y'all think I'm talking about white folk. There's a whole lot of folk that look like you who worship in some other God. Somebody shout Clarence Thomas. Hallelujah.
So anyone who is not a communist is a bad person to this communist preacher. A good friend of Barack Obama, a good friend of whatever the heck his name is, Bill Ayers, calls, I'm just flabbergasted. I never lose my ability to even focus, but I have an impossible capacity. I can't conceive how he gets away with this. In the sense that, yes, it's a country where free speech reigns. But for this vile character to espouse such racial hatred at a time like this, and for Romney and the entire white Republican structure to ignore it, is shocking to me. It's beyond comprehension to call Voltaire ignorant and arrogant, to call Thomas Jefferson a pedophile and get away with it. Why is he doing it now? I'm asking you a loaded question. I believe it's because Obama's brain, Axelrod, has told him to unleash again. How can I ever prove it? I can't. But I believe that Obama's brain, Axelrod, sat down and said to Wright, go, you're on. Let it out again. Let her rip. Start the racial hatred again. Start the racial fires going again. Let her rip. Well, the only calculation he's making is that this will excite the black base. And he's figuring the white male, the blue-collar white male is so stupid that he'll vote for Obama again. In that sense that he's actually making that calculated risk. That the white male who voted for Obama the first time will do it again because he's that much of a moron. He has his hat on backwards. He goes to a ball game, wears a jersey with a ball player's name on it, has a golf club and in the closet, doesn't know what's going on in the world, could care less. That's what he's calculating, Obama's brain. That's what I'm guessing. All right, let's take your calls and see what you think. Why is Mr. Wright doing this now, Reverend Wright doing this now? Sacramento, Jim, go ahead, please. Why is Reverend Wright espousing such hatred towards whites at this time?
Well, I think it's right, like you just said. It's It's to incite more the white person to vote for Obama than it is for the black person, because Obama knows he's got the black people in his pocket. It's to get that left-wing, liberal, white European back in his pocket again, and that's the way
Well, you
it.
Know that the children in our schools believe this. You know that they've been brainwashed for well over 15 years with deconstructionism and an invented reality along the lines of what Reverend Wright is espousing. They have a thing called white studies. You have any idea what they're doing to our children in the universities, these communists?
Oh, exactly what they're doing. It's terrible.
Jim, I'm sending you trickle-down tyranny. For those of you who are listening to this show, this is the Savage Nation. We've heard the voice of the vile Reverend Wright saying white supremacy drives world policy, basically attacking some of the great minds of history, Voltaire, Jefferson, and calling them ignorant and arrogant. And I've reminded you that virtually all of your inventions were invented by European males. Trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tigers, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, fax machines, all made possible by the minds and spirits of men with names like Ampere, Bell, Casselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other white males hated by Reverend Wright and those who espouse this insanity.
Listen to this. Mother's Day will be here soon, and Michael Savage made sure Mrs. Savage is getting Sherry's Berries. Sherry's Berries aren't just impressive, they're delicious. And Michael Savage has a special offer from Sherry's Berries just for you. But you must order this week. Don't wait. Send giant dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99. That's more than 40% in savings. Sherry's Berries are huge, fresh, and juicy. Just go to berries.com, click on the radio microphone, and type in Savage. And if you order now, Savage Radio listeners can double their berries for just $10 more. Don't be too busy for Mom. Get Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99. Call 866-FRUIT-02 or visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and click Savage. To order now. Offer expires midnight on Friday. I'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I want you to listen to this interview that I did on my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny.
So, Michael, thanks for joining us. You and I, as usual, are the two most unlikely radio partners, but we, I think, proved as Americans that we can find a way to work things out. And
yes.
What I want to say about this whole Trayvon Martin case is that we did have a kind of unique situation, no matter who it was, where you have a young man who's not doing anything wrong. He's walking down the street. He doesn't really have a history of doing much wrong. No one's perfect.
Right.
And you have another person who is outraged at robberies in the neighborhood. He's feels, I guess, that the police don't get there fast enough. He ignores a suggestion that we don't need you to follow the person. He follows him. And somehow we have the young man lying dead in the street. And I did think that his parents have been remarkably restrained and, if anything, have set a tone that if everybody else just follows, maybe we can get through this.
No, you mean Trayvon Martin's parents?
Right.
Well, if you're asking for my comments, my comment is simple. We all wish that the young man were alive. That's to start with. No one wishes he was dead. Having said that, I'm not one to try him in the media. I think that Al Sharpton should be arrested. And so should High Jackson for moving in like vultures and steaming up the crowd and trying to cause a race war. That's the worst thing that could happen, and you know that. You know it as a governor. What would have happened if you let these outside agitators come in every time there was an incident? So, yeah, there's a lot of blame to go around. I'm glad there's going to be a trial, frankly, where all the evidence will be presented, and I hope that there's not a lynch mob outside, frankly.
Right. Now, Michael, I'll say the same thing to you that I said to John Gambling. In a lot of cases, and of course there's some famous ones, there are people who either as race baiters or self-promoters come in and they get in, into the case and it doesn't need it. And right now there's a shooting of some black people in Oklahoma where if somebody went into that case, it would be totally inappropriate because it looks to me like there is a mental illness involved in that shooting and that the defendants may, one of the defendants may not even be able to stand trial. So this would totally be inappropriate. But if there were a case...
I'm sorry, Governor, I don't really want to be put in the position where I have to defend Zimmerman because I won't do so. But I don't want to eulogize Traven because I don't know what went on. They were in a fight. Unfortunately, this jerk had a gun and shot him and killed him.
Right.
That happened.
Well,
that happened.
He shouldn't have had a gun.
This lunatic shouldn't have had a gun, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
Because
right.
To me and you, this was an unstable guy who obviously has emotional and mental issues. And he was looking for, you know, frankly, if I were in the jury, the first instinct I would have is this schmuck was looking for someone to shoot. And it could have been a white guy that he shot just as soon as a black guy. He was just looking to prove himself to be macho. That's what I think. I don't think there was a racial element where he's hunting for a black kid.
And no, and that's why the mischaracterization of the 911 tape only added fuel to the fire because it makes it appear that he identified him when he actually was only answering the police operator's call. He said, is he black, Hispanic, or white? And he said, he's black. But when they take that part out, I mean, that's an outrage. I mean, a total outrage.
What NBC did, yes, I get it. Well, you know, there was another case in Maryland that's all over the internet of a poor white guy gets clocked and beaten up by a gang of 10 black people, and the police chief says it's not a hate crime. I mean, this is a crazy time we're living in.
Yeah, there's a case in Kansas City involving... two black kids setting a white kid on fire, which is a hate crime, but wasn't really identified that way when it was as obvious as it was. But what I'm saying
Governor, you know what I say when they say it's not a hate crime with such vile situations? I say, oh, you mean it was a love crime?
Right, right. But what I thought was interesting about this case is not as much the racial aspect of it, but the institutional failure here, because you now have a state's attorney, a police chief, and the police department itself sort of passing the buck back and forth about why this man wasn't arrested. And I thought that that blew up this case more than anything else. In other words, that the justice was done in the police department and not in a court where you would think normally would be the case, even with Florida's self-defense stand your ground statute.
Well, Florida, as you know, is much different than New York, in many ways better. People do have the right to carry, openly carry, and to conceal and carry with very little requirements. As a result, there's less crime in some areas because people are afraid of getting whacked by, you know, citizens with guns, including old seniors from Brooklyn who moved down there, who are holding on to every welfare check that they can. But not to be sarcastic or comedic in the political arena, because this young man is dead. To me, after a situation like this, I believe there should have been an arrest. Even if there's a stand-your-ground law,
fact.
If one is dead and one is not dead, and there's any ambiguity, it should have been adjudicated immediately or thrown into a court. That's how I would have seen this. In other words, let's see the evidence, let's hear the tapes, but let's not let this fester. Because we saw what happened with the festering. You had the demagogues flying in trying to make hay out of it. And, of course, the rest is history. Maybe the country learned by this. Maybe the demagogues will not be so quick to incite riots in the future. I don't know. But, again, this young man is dead. He really was, like you said, he didn't seem to have a big juvie record, you know, a normal, you know, kid with a little this, a little of that. The way it looks to me is this guy, as I say, was hunting for someone he could show he's John Wayne, right? It just happened to be a black kid. Now, maybe he did insult the kid by trailing him, and the kid got incensed, Traven Martin, and said, you're looking for me, and punches him. That could have happened. Still doesn't justify killing him, by the way. Incidentally, just getting punched in the mouth does not justify killing a man. You know that, right?
Absolutely.
Now, then they're going to say, well, he was on top of him and banging his head on the ground. I don't know if he was on the top or if Zimmerman was on the top. That is something that I think the jury is going to have to decide. Not me. I wasn't there. I don't even know the evidence.
Correct. And the extent of the injury, we don't know that either.
We know there was an injury, though, that they covered up on ABC. And then when they showed it was injury.
You know, this is the thing that we've got this situation right now where people will put inaccurate information out just to try to win. And you would think that when you win, you win because you're right, not because you cheated. And more and more, that just seems to be...
Lawyers involved, you know it's not about right. It's not about right or wrong.
But listen, I appreciate your intellectual honesty on this entire situation. And you will be following me right after this interview, and it's great to have you on. But I've got to ask you about trickle-down tyranny. Now, tell me a little bit about this.
Now you're gonna have fun because you're a Democrat and you don't believe it.
I probably don't. But you know what? I still like hearing it, particularly when it has a creative sense that is beyond even my comprehension. So let's have it. Trickle-down tyranny is, finish the sentence.
Well, now it's number two on the New York Times bestseller list, which means
that that they put it in the back of the bookstores and the
upside down,
and the woman from MSNBC got her book right up in the front.
Yeah,
you don't think I keep an eye on you, do you? and by the way, that's all I can keep on you, an eye.
sorry. Very good joke, but sorry to hear it. Yeah, I was beaten by a golf book as well, which tells you more than you need to know about America today. But look, here's the way I see it. I grew up in the same era, a little bit older than you, but in the same era where you were taught by your father, no one's going to give you anything. If you want to make it in this world, you better work hard, keep your nose to the grindstone. I mean, I'm sure your father taught you that, right?
Oh, yeah, and you remember my father well.
I did remember him. I'm the only one probably in the media who remembers the name even. But remember, I was a kid in New York in the 50s. He was a very powerful political figure at that time. The point was is that we were both raised to want to succeed. Poverty was not rewarded. Success was not punished. Our worst enemies were not catered to. The military was looked up to, not used as a pawn. Our borders were secure. They weren't descending into chaos. And frankly, corporations and cronies may have taken off with some of the wealth, but not most of the wealth as they are doing now. And I believe this is a product of corruption as much as anything else in the Obama administration. I'm not going to mince words just because I like you. He is not a normal Democrat. And Governor, if I can say this, there must be party elders who agree with me because he's taking the party over the cliff. It would be as though a Ku Klux Klan sympathizer ran as a very polished guy and somehow won the presidency as a Republican. And then he took all of his old KKK buddies and put them into positions of power. And people are screaming, where the heck are you going with this country? You're not part of the Republican Party. So we on the other side see Mr. Obama not as a Democrat, but as a rather far left extremist beyond the ken of the Democrat Party. And I think the most important and most salient point of trickle-down tyranny is we're all losing individual rights. It's not just conservatives. We're all Americans.
Michael, just to give you an idea where I'm coming from, and I'd love to have you back on next week to talk a little bit more about the book. It's actually my view that when you have a president, no matter who it is, who's raising $1 billion for a reelection campaign, and the challenger will have at least $500 to $600 million, whoever wins will never be able to stop the corruption that's dividing the country.
You hit the nail on the head. That's absolutely right. And think about how many poor and sick people could be helped with $1.5 billion that is wasted on TV ads and hot air, in plain English.
Right. Now, finally, the entire
election process is a tyranny.
Now, finally, on this case that has begun today with the arraignment of George Zimmerman, any thoughts about how you think it's going to come out?
Not an iota, because I haven't seen any of the evidence. I just pray that the lynch mob isn't outside the jail for 9 months screaming for his hide, because we're going backwards, not forwards.
Right. Well, I'll make you a bet that because there was an arrest and because there is this is now the system is working. Well, Michael, thanks very much. We'll take up a little more trickle down tyranny and see if we can get to the second paragraph or where our agreement will run out. But it didn't run out today.
Governor, always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Wait, hang on before I go.
Mother's Day is coming up. Now is the time to show all the moms in our lives how much we appreciate them. Our mothers, mothers-in-laws, wives. Now's the time to make them feel special with a beautiful floral bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. Don't settle for less. Send the best. Moms are going to love the rose and lily bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. She'll love this beautiful bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com.
1-800-Flowers.com has a very special offer just for my listeners. You order the rose and lily bouquet, and you get a free clear vase for only $34.99. That's $25 off the regular price. For this or other Mother's Day offers, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter Savage. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my last name, Savage.
Savage.
Network. One, you're an independent syndicator. Two, I work with the best team in talk radio. They know me. They're like my friends. All the guys in the back room. It's unbelievable to me. This is a family. This is a team. We are the Yankees of talk radio.
The ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
You're listening to the inner Obama. This is Reverend Wright attacking white people and glorifying people of color based on race. This is naked racism. This is something you would hear inside the Nation of Islam. But this is exactly what Obama sat through for 20 straight years, and he was not vetted by the vermin in the media. Not vetted by one person in the media. Not one person in the media dared ask him, how could you sit through that? And you know, as I sit here, Obama is going to get away with it again. You know and I know that Mr. Romney doesn't have the heart to stand up and demand an answer from Obama and ask him if he agrees with these clips of his sermon from Reverend Wright. But I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you what we're facing here. We're facing a nightmare. You know, there was a movie years ago called Burn with Marlon Brando. I'm one of the few people who even remember it. It's actually one of Brando's best movies, but he plays a white man who goes out to the Caribbean to be a plantation master, and he joins the slaves in a slave revolt. What I'm about to say is true. And if you can argue with one word of it, you're welcome to call me. And if you can prove that I'm a racist for reminding you that trains, planes, cars, rockets, telescopes, tires, telephones, radios, television, electricity, atomic energy, computers, fax machines are all miracles made possible by the minds and spirits of men who Reverend Wright hates and calls ignorant and stupid. Names like Ampere, Bell, Caselli, Edison, Ohm, Faraday, Einstein, Cohen, Teller, Shockley, Hertz, Marconi, Morse, Popov, Ford, Volta, Michelin, Dunlop, Watt, Diesel, Galileo, and other evil, arrogant, ignorant white males. Shall I remind you again of some of the other inventions, or does this disturb you in some way? Curse me if you want. Curse all white males if you want, but that won't change anything. But if you want to call me a liar, you'll have to come up with the proof that I'm wrong. Remember, I didn't say there were no important contributions by non-white males. I said the overwhelming majority of inventions are from white males. Of course, I know about such things as the Chinese and gunpowder, but they didn't take it much beyond firecrackers and pyrotechnics. I know about the pyramids and masonry of South America. I know about the zero of the Arabs, but would we have atomic physics and electricity if it hadn't been for the ancient Greek philosophers who, for example, had the idea that all matter consists of tiny atoms? Is that something that Reverend Wright can even fathom in his pea brain? Can he even comprehend what an atom is? All he knows is that racism sells, hatred sells. Aristotle, 5th century BC, 25th century pre-PC, used electric charges to treat gout. Archimedes perceived the center of gravity of solids, cylinders, and spheres. From the basic discoveries of Greek civilization, it went to the Romans. And after the fall of Rome, it passed to later Europeans who expanded on the scientific knowledge. In modern times, these ideas were developed by such European white males as Volta, Ampere, Watt, Bell, Edison, and Einstein, who provided the basis for most of the technical wonders of today. All of them ignorant, arrogant white males. Maybe you got your enlightenment from one of the Ivy League institutions of this education. Maybe they taught you that it's all a result of white racism and oppression. That every time a potential Einstein, Edison, or Ford popped up in the third world, a white hit squad would swoop down and eliminate him before he had a chance to prove himself. Maybe they didn't have proper daycare facilities. Maybe our would-be innovator came from a dysfunctional family. Maybe they told you that. Well, it's all wrong. The fact of the matter is, be very careful what you're saying. Because if you destroy the white male, as Obama is out to do on a daily basis by attacking the successful white males, of course he likes the white male in the gutter. Of course he admires the white male who is a dependent of the government. But he seems to hate the very people he lives off. Who are his advisors? You would think that Rahm Emanuel is not a white male. You would think his good friend from Chicago, whose name I forget. Does anyone remember his name? Obama's brain. Axelrod is not a white male, but you'd be wrong. I am trying to act as Paul Revere for this country. I'm warning you that this man is out to destroy you. He wants to not only turn this into the socialist states of America, he wants to enslave you one way or the other. I don't mean it literally, but the fact of the matter is this is a tyrant.
Wait, hang on. Before I go, how much money do you need to earn each month? That's what IncomeAtHome.com wants to know. IncomeAtHome.com is America's leading work from home business. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company. Plus, they do business in over 80 countries. Your age, education, experience, it doesn't matter. You can do this. You can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table 24/7. All you need is a little spare time and their one-on-one coaching to earn great money from home. If you're worried about job security or retirement, if you're ready to make great money from home, part-time or full, IncomeAtHome.com is adding my listeners in record numbers. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone, you hear that? Just for checking them out. So check them out. Visit IncomeAtHome.com. Check them out. That's IncomeAtHome.com.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
Number one, I'm not divisive. The media is divisive. Number two, CBS, ABC, SNBC, and Fox News spent $4,000 each buying 20 years of my sermons so that they could hear what Barack Obama had heard for 20 years. Then they took an 8-year-old sermon and a 5-year-old sermon and took two clauses out of context to try to scare white voters away from Barack Obama.
Okay, so that's Reverend Wright saying that he's not divisive and that these news media outlets took him out of context. All right, let's take it on the face that he's not lying. And yet in the same sermon, what I'm about to play for you is not taken out of context, or is it? Listen to clip two.
There are people in power right now who have opinions about you based on their privilege of skin color. I am in the text. Pilate was European. Jesus was not European. They live in a world shaped by European standards of beauty, shaped by Moynihan studies, shaped by bell curves. They live in a different world from your world altogether. They are ignorant and arrogant, and these are graduates of Harvard and Yale setting policies for you based on the stupidity of David Hume, Immanuel Kant, Voltaire, George Wilhelm Friedrich Hegel, Thomas Jefferson, a pedophile, Theodore Roosevelt, and the racist Supreme Court.
That's Obama's inner man. That is Reverend Wright. He's at it again. saying that a genius like Voltaire, a genius such as Jefferson, these geniuses are nothing compared to Reverend Wright. He's trying to turn the world upside down. I didn't take it out of context. It's him speaking this weekend. Now, let me ask you something. Should I not play any of this? Because I seem to be the only show in the country who is playing Reverend Wright's white supremacy speeches. Am I wrong to play it? Am I causing more harm than good by playing Reverend Wright at this time? Should I be like the Republicans and not play it? Should I turn the other cheek? Should I make believe Reverend Wright is not doing this? Should I ignore the fact that Obama actually must think the same way since he sat in the same church for 20 years? Should I play this tape or not? Because if you say don't play it, I won't play it. Because I don't really want to upset Reverend Wright or any of his followers. I'd like them to live in their own world of ignorance and false arrogance as they attack people of another race. While saying they're not racist themselves, it's sickening that I didn't think I'd live in an America like this. Well, let's take the callers and see what you have to say on the Savage Nation. Eric in New York on WOR. What do you make of Reverend Wright doing this?
Well, first of all, I'm a black American, and I say play it. Play it. Please play it, because you're the only one who's playing it. I'm just so frustrated. Nobody. You're the only one who's coming out and talking about this man and telling exactly what the truth is. And I salute you for it, Dr. Savage.
Please. Eric, why is Wright doing this now? He was told to shut up by Obama right after the election. He disappeared. Now he's popping up again and expressing hatred towards white people in the most vile, despicable manner. Why is he doing this?
Dr. Savage, you've said it all along. It's a conspiracy. It's media. It's the complex. It's all those people who want to keep whatever they got going. It is not an accident. It's all contrived. And I'm just praying that more people will hear your voice and will act, especially black Americans. It's like we're zombies.
Well, I don't know. I don't live in a bell jar. I live in the real world. I run into people of different races and nationalities. I basically am a loner. But when I run into black people in restaurants or bars, they're usually middle class black people. They seem to agree with me. Who in the world is Obama and Wright addressing? Who are they addressing?
I think they're addressing white people and blacks who just are mesmerized by the fact that there's a black man in the White House, which I might add, the media prepared us for 2 years prior to his election by having a black guy in the White House on television program. It was all contrived. It's all contrived. And you're the only...
Well, I don't care if there's a black man in the White House, but this is not just a black man in the White House. This is a naked Marxist tyrant in the White House.
Exactly. And
where is the freedom? Where is one statement about freedom and liberty and individual rights and anything coming out of Reverend Wright's mouth or Obama's mouth? When have you last heard Obama express the tenets of our Constitution? I have never heard it from him. Never.
I haven't either. And it's almost as if people are not listening. The man says what he's doing.
Exactly. That's what I've been alleging for years now. He's not hiding it. In trickle-down tyranny, I prove beyond a reasonable doubt he's not hiding it. He's showing it. He says I'm a communist. He says I'm a Marxist. He doesn't use those words, but he says it in all of his policies and actions.
And that's why I don't understand. How is it that people could be so blind? It's like he's there. It's like the Pied Piper. You know, he's leading all the kids to the water.
Eric, if I send you trickle-down tyranny, would you hide it or would you show it?
I will show it.
You got it.
It's on the way.
You got it. It's on the way. Yeah, you got it. My heart's actually pounding. I don't know how much more of this I can possibly take. I really don't know how much I can take. Listening to the hatred coming out of this White House, the hatred coming out of Reverend Wright. You say, well, come on now, you're merging the two. They're not one and the same. All right, you can have your opinion. I have mine. Something's wrong with this picture. For Reverend Wright, who has been told to dummy up for 2 years now, to suddenly come out with this anti-white tirade in church this weekend. Okay, listen to clip three.
The ignorance
ignorance and arrogance of white supremacy have the shapers and movers of world policy living in a different world from people of color altogether. And the sooner you realize that, the better off you're going to be.
Now, are we listening to Louis Farrakhan or Obama's Reverend Wright? You're not listening to Louis Farrakhan. It's the very same tone, the very same speech. And your president sat in a church for 20 years listening to this. You say, well, he disavowed him. Well, he better disavow him now. You think Obama should disavow Reverend Wright for this speech today? Well, he won't. Why won't he? Because you're not hearing it anywhere but on this little old show. Little radio show. No one listens to it. I don't exist. As in the ex-Soviet Union, I'm banned on Fox News. I'm banned in the United Kingdom. I'm banned because I dare say what needs to be said. I dare speak truth to power, one man's opinion, if you want to put it to you that way. So therefore, Fox will have nothing to do with me, to their detriment. So if I'm non-existent, if I don't exist because O'Reilly has a golden shillelagh that he uses to shut anyone up, he has a golden shillelagh that he uses to shut anyone up who competes with him, and they're so fair and balanced that he'd rather have a prostitute or a drug dealer on the show than Michael Savage. Shows you how fair and balanced Fox News is under this regime. It doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter, but I tell it to you for a reason. It's not because I'm hurting or I'm complaining. I'm telling it to you because there's a vast government media complex, and it doesn't end with ABC, CBS, or NBC. It begins with ABC, CBS, and NBC, and frankly, it ends with Fox News. They're all part and parcel of the mainstream media, as is, sorry to tell you, Rush Limbaugh. Although Rush Limbaugh is under fire right now, he's part and parcel of the major media. So I've painted myself into a corner, I admit it. But in this corner, I sit. And in this corner, this man, Michael Savage, looks at the world, and I can't believe what I'm watching. I can't mention certain names, and I don't know how to put it in a way that will preserve his privacy, so I'll try to do it in a certain way. In a certain area where I live sometimes, there is a man who is a fairly well-known movie personality. And I see him from time to time. He's been in many, many movies. I never talk, I run into him five times, usually over our dogs. He has a little dog. I have a little dog. His dog pees on my dog's bushes. My dog pees on his dog's bushes. And when he walks down the street, sometimes we talk. He's a very nice man. We never talk politics. I know he's a far leftist. And I've even joked about it a couple of years ago. I said, how good can it be that you have a far left and a far right guy in the same street? The fact of the matter is, who really knows what any man's politics are behind the scenes? You're telling me that Spielberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Matzenberg really want to pay Jerry Brown another 5% of their income in taxes? Are you kidding me? They could write a check to the governor if they really want to pay more. But they don't want to pay any more. So who are they really behind the scenes? I have no idea. Anyway, he says to me, as we're talking, I don't know how it came up, and he says, you know, there's a man who really likes you by the name of Mort Saul. I said, you're kidding. I love Mort Saul. Mort Saul goes back to the 1950s. He predated Lenny Bruce. Would you believe this? He says he listens to your show. He really loves you. I hope I'm not blowing Mort. This could kill Mort Saul's career now in his 80s. This guy was so far ahead of the curve that people have forgotten him. But he was ahead of Lenny Bruce, and he's still here. And he apparently likes listening to me. I said, well, I love him. I haven't seen him, you know, in years, but this man is still out there? Yes. So I said, well, man, I'd like to meet him. What a thrill that would be for me. So I made a thing, we'd have coffee in my house one of these days. The point I'm making is you'd be very, very surprised to find out that so-called liberals love Michael Savage. Why? Because I'm not who they say that I am. In fact, most people who actually listen to me know that I'm one of the true individualists left in this country. You can't categorize me. You can't say I'm a right winger. You can't say I'm a left winger. You can't say I'm anything except I'm Michael Savage with one man's opinion. I will tell you this, I'm an anti-communist. That you can say for sure. And that is because 90 million people were killed by communists in the last century. I'm not in favor of mass murder. So I'm an anti-communist. So that you can be sure of. You want to call me a conservative, an independent, that's fine. I vary on certain issues, but the point is I'm not trying to have you define me. I'm having me define you. So who are you? You don't have to walk around saying, because I don't like Obama, I'm a right winger. Because I will hazard a guess on this show right now that 50 to 75% of mainstream Democrats
are very uneasy with this man in the White House.
Wait, hang on. Before I go, let me ask you this. How much money do you need to earn each month? Huh? That's what IncomeAtHome.com wants to know. They'll help you make that happen. IncomeAtHome.com is America's leading work from home business. They have an A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. They're affiliated with a multi-billion dollar company. Plus, they do business in over 80 countries. The bottom line is this. They are legit. Your age, education, experience, it doesn't matter. You can do this. You can literally earn money on your computer from your kitchen table 24/7. Even while you sleep, there's no pressure. All you need is a little spare time and their one-on-one coaching to earn great money from home. Hey, look, if you're sick of living paycheck to paycheck, if you're worried about job security or retirement, if you're ready to make great money from home, part-time or full, IncomeAtHome.com is adding my listeners in record numbers. They're even giving away $1,000 to someone. You hear that? Just for checking them out. So check them out. Visit IncomeAtHome.com. Check them out. That's IncomeAtHome.com.
Savage.
Let's hear it. Come on, play it. Let's try to lighten up a bit. Just because we found out in the Savage Nation that a Spanish holding company now controls the outcome of our elections, why should you be upset? Take your Kool-Aid. Take your Soma. Go on a weight loss diet. Take a trip. Take a trip. Take a pill. Cool out. Chill it. You're a racist if you think this man is a socialist. You're a racist if you criticize him for criticizing the Supreme Court. You're a racist if you can't stand the hard-knuckle approach of this gang. So, cool it. Relax. Let's have some bookstore horror stories. I'm getting calls from around the country of the book being buried, about displays being overturned. Oh, can't happen here? Well, we don't have book burnings yet, so we have to be thankful about that. Why don't you listen to what the callers are saying? Are you ready? Let's start with Stephanie in New York on WOR. Stephanie, what did you find? Go ahead.
Well, I found that your book was smushed into the middle, so I took what was there and I made my own display. And I made up nice little displays all over the store, right in all the key places.
So you did the right thing, and I would encourage everyone else in this audience that if you want your voice heard, if you believe that my message is your message, if you believe that my message is important enough to not be buried, then go into the bookstores and demand, or move the book yourself. Stephanie, I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny. Vince in New York has another horror story. Vince on WOR, what'd you find?
Hey, Dr. Savage, it's an honor to talk to you. I was in a bookstore, Barnes & Noble, and your book was in the middle of the new release section, but piled high was every other book, so I couldn't find it. I couldn't even see it, so I did the same thing Stephanie did. I moved the other books out of the way, put it right in front. Somebody was like, hey, what are you doing? I said, it's fine. I have to make a few adjustments, and that
Good
was that.
For you. That's right. Don't be never be intimidated by other customers, because they're just like you, and you have every right to display the book you want displayed. If they can push Rachel Mad Cow's book over mine, if they could take Rachel Mad Cow's book and push it, make it look like it's a bigger book than it is, you have every right to push the Savage over the Mad Cow. You know, I want to go back to that. I raised something that's shocking, and most people didn't even hear me, and they don't even want to hear it. They're afraid. They're uncomfortable. I'm going to say it again because I think it's an important discussion that someone who really specializes in these things should pick up and write an essay about. Barack Obama never identified with the black radical theological, movement at all. He even wrote about it. He said he never even thought about it until he got to Columbia, when he decided, he consciously made a decision to identify with the black radicals of his time because that was the way to go. That was cool. And look how far it's taken him, all the way into the White House. But the man really has no grievance in that. His father is of African descent. I've seen it my whole life. It makes me nauseous.
Listen to this. Mrs. Savage will be expecting something from Michael on Mother's Day, but this year Michael did something unexpected. He's sending her Sherry's Berries. And just so you don't forget, Michael Savage has a special offer just for his listeners. Giant dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries starting at just $19.99. That's more than 40% off. But you've got to go to berries.com and click on the radio microphone and type in Savage. Plus, Michael's radio listeners can double the berries for just $10 more. Call 866-FRUIT-02 or visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the top right corner and type in Savage. Go to berries.com, click on the microphone, and type in Savage. Order now. Offer expires midnight on Friday.
I'll be right back.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I want you to listen to this interview that I did on my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, now a bestseller.
A few weeks back on a Friday, I flew into JFK. I went back east to check on my mom's health. As many of you know, she had a stroke about 6 months ago. And I was stuck in traffic, 3 hours to go 76 miles. Now, during that 3 hours, I had the pleasure of listening to our guest, Dr. Michael Savage, on WOR out of New York. And while as excruciating as 3 hours of New York traffic can be, Dr. Savage, the number one New York Times best-selling author and host of The Savage Nation, the third largest show in America, made the trip actually pleasant. Dr. Savage, welcome to the program.
Jerry, thanks for the build-up. How's your mother?
She's doing much, much better. Thank you. She's got that, you know, that Irish Catholic East Coast. As I see her eyebrows shoot further into her forehead, I know she's feeling better. And when she starts to say, when she starts to tell me, oh, son, I love you, I know it's time to get on a plane because she's not feeling too well. Read your book and Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Yet once again, your 27th book, I believe it is, you have managed to not only take us to where we are today, but to really well project into the future what it is we're looking at if we go not so gently into that socialist night.
Jerry, you know, when I wrote the book, I was saying to myself, you know what it is to write a book. You wish that it's in time. You hope you have enough material that people understand that it's not about today. It's about tomorrow. The day it's published, Obama attacks the Supreme Court, saying this group of unelected people, as though he's talking about a flash mob in a coffee shop. And he still hasn't backed down from what he did. I think even the midstream media today showed that they're terrified, that they understand finally who they're dealing with, this king guy, this king in the White House.
He doesn't seem to be constrained by the Constitution, by the rule of law, by the Supreme Court. He seems to have determined that he is the be-all, end-all, and that he is much like Yul Brynner's character in So Let It Be Written, So Let It Be Done. He says it, therefore everyone has to fall in line. I know you're not, and hopefully a lot of people read Trickle Down Tyranny and join in this cause to push back against this tyrannical power grab in America.
Well, remember this. He's overseeing the transformation of our society into the ultimate entitlement state. He himself is exemplifying a man with an entitlement mentality where he says, I am entitled to do as I wish. I am the king. I'm the president. I don't care about the separation of powers. I am the ultimate authority. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. Big deal. Do something about it. I have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, DHS. I have the FBI. What are you going to do to me? I mean, look at the man's face, Jerry. We're in very serious trouble here because although the Republicans have made a good issue of it, it's not a big enough issue. There should be calls for a congressional investigation of this man right now for what he said to the Supreme Court. Many of us see it as an overt threat, by the way. Do you see it as a threat?
I absolutely do. I mean, when I look at how he has basically ruled with a steamroller, where he will overrule any of the bankruptcy laws, the forced bankruptcy of General Motors, the forced marriage of Chrysler and Fiat, whether it's just calling senior debt holders speculators, whether it's in any fashion that he envisions this attempt to, I think, overwhelm the body politic and to overwhelm the free market capitalist system, to bring it to its knees, and then to have government be the ultimate savior, I think is his endgame. And I think you pointed out so well in Trickle Down Tyranny.
Well, Trickle Down Tyranny is no joke. This is just the beginning. These are the baby steps of what he's taking. Now, he's testing. Remember when the Muslim Islamists were testing us? What were they calling them? Balloons or something, when they'd go and see how far they could get away with the airline situations. Remember that?
Right.
Okay. I think Obama's testing the limits of how far his power grab can go right now.
And I think that he doesn't even understand what he did here. Because what are the consequences? It's like a child who keeps pushing the parents around, and he does it through incremental steps until eventually the parents give up and throw up their hands and say, I can't do anything with him. He's out of control. And they can't control the child. In many ways, Obama is on one hand acting like a spoiled brat. You know, many people don't believe that. But you have a childishness to him that can be equally dangerous. And then you have a very mature, dangerous politician from the ruthless Chicago political machine who is treating the American people sort of like an afterthought rather than the fact that we elected him, so to speak. I didn't vote for him, but nevertheless, he is the president of the United States, and we have to abide by the laws. But do we have to abide by his tyranny? Where is it written that we have to abide by his tyranny?
We don't. We have a duty, actually, to push back against a tyrannical takeover of the country. When you, Dr. Savage, look at this creeping incrementalism, would you agree that the Democrats play a better political game than the Republicans, where they're relentless in their pursuit of power, and the Republicans every once in a while throw out a volley and a report or a budget and say, here with a press conference, look at what we're doing today. The Democrats just seem to be like a tidal relentlessness on the rocks on a jetty, and they just wear the edges down over time.
Yes, because they have a few things going for them. They have a sense of self-righteousness. They have a sense of entitlement. They have a sense of fake grievances, and the Republicans are like the punching bag for them. This is why the Tea Party came along, Jerry. The Tea Party said, we're not the Republican Party, we're the American people. We are not going to play ball with gangsters. You're not doing your job, we're going to replace you. And Jerry, there was an election in 2010, which you well remember. What was it, 78 seats changed hands across the land, and they all went, with the exception of two or three, they went to the Republicans. We've had a mandate against Obama's imperiousness and his socialist policies, and yet the media would have you believe, oh, it's all up for grabs. You don't know what's coming in November. God, it's so close. Nonsense. This is the most divisive, despised president in American history, and I believe that unless he rigs the election, which I fear he's already done, he's going to be sadly disappointed when he loses by 20 points, even to the tepid Mitt Romney. But, you know, I just raised another point, Jerry, and I covered it on my show yesterday. Who controls the voting? It turns out that a Spanish holding company now controls the results of our elections, Jerry. You heard that story?
Yes, I did.
Do you realize, I'm sorry to say it rhetorically like that, you realize, I'm talking to a talk show, you realize, of course, Jerry Doyle, you realize, of course, being the man you are, what this means. How did the Republicans let this happen? A Spanish holding company of money manipulators now control the computers which count the elections in America? Wait a minute, how did they permit this? So I'm not so sure he's going to lose.
This is the political voting version of what you were spearheading with the Dubai World Ports deal. We don't want the ships to come in and not have some security functionality that we would want to maintain here. But now we've, in a certain way, we've allowed foreigners to come in, take over, and control without us having a check and balance on what the outcomes of elections could be. And much like the Dubai World Ports deal, this is something else that you would think that others would be on board with, but they're more concerned about selling concert tickets and keychains and doormats and whatever it else is that are hawking that day.
You know, Jerry, what's the value of a book? Okay, you see a pretty face of a curmudgeon on the front cover, but is there any reason to buy a book? One page alone in that book is worth people either tearing the page out, which I hope they don't do, and showing it to people. And it's, I think it's page 245. I don't remember. I don't have it with me, believe it or not. And it describes the board of directors of this Spanish holding company and the entire scheme of stealing our votes. The votes are being counted. I don't think people understand this, Jerry. They go in a voting booth and they think that this is some secure system that can't be hacked. My friends listening to the Savage Nation, do you know if your vote even counts anymore, or have they decided how many votes to give to Obama in advance? Is that why he whispered to Medvedev, when I'm reelected? Is that why he said it again a few days later, when I'm reelected, Jerry? Does he know something that we the sheeple don't know, Jerry?
Well, these are great questions. In looking at what it is that you have studied, what you know, what you see, and what you well lay out in trickle-down tyranny, one of the things that galls me is how the others that are supposedly on the same team we are, conservatives, independent conservatives, but then Republican conservatives, aren't stepping up and saying, I got to get Dr. Savage's message out to my audience. That includes Rush and Hannity and Levin and Fox. And these are trumpet calls that you talk about in the book about the future of the country, but yet they don't want to play ball with you.
How about you, Jerry? Have you been invited on Fox recently?
No.
Okay, so there's a blacklist. There's a blacklist at Fox News that is equal to that of CNN. They're only slightly different than CNN. Some of the fellows and ladies on that network are quite nice and good and mean well. But there's something wrong with the whole picture, and I think I know what's wrong. It's too big a story, but frankly, I cover the issue between Murdoch and Obama in my book. And I believe that we all know that Murdoch's in very bad trouble right now with the UK government. But what people don't understand is that Eric Holder has him in his sights for a similar situation here in America. This is why Fox News recently hired Jesse Jackson's daughter as a commentator, if you can believe it. This is how far they've fallen. This is why outlets like NBC and MSNBC would have a street rat like Al Sharpton on a network as a talker. This is why they would forbid Michael Savage and Jerry Doyle from appearing on their network. It's because they're afraid of the Obama administration and they're trying to placate them.
And they're also, I think, afraid of the failures of the Republican Party, of which they are the media echo chamber. But they have given us, yet time and time again, another Mitt Romney or a Johnny McAmnesty or a. And
I never heard the Johnny what'd you call him, Johnny McAmnesty?
Johnny McAmnesty and Mitt Romney. I mean, that's who they've decided to give us. But yet, in spite of that blacklisting or whatever we would call it, you have managed and your audience has managed to make you and keep you a number one New York Times bestselling author and reward you with the ratings of the Savage Nation. I can only imagine what the numbers would be if you got that exposure to the aforementioned Rush, Hannity, Levin, and Fox.
Yeah, but you see, I'm philosophical about it. After a certain number of years of struggling so hard, what I do is I actually thank God every day for what I have, because it's impossible to control outside of the universe in which I live. I can't control how they think or what they do. And so I could look at it the other way and say, what if I were a completely unknown American, like most listeners who have no radio show and no books, and they're burning up inside, Jerry. They're burning up. They're about to explode from the Republicans and the Democrats, and they don't know what to do. So in many ways, you and I speak for them, and we write for them. And trickle-down tyranny really is a warning of what's coming, unless they say, here's what they have to say themselves: as bad as Romney is, as tepid as Romney is, we better vote for him. We have to be activated. Right. I'm afraid they won't vote for him.
We'll have to see how that plays out, and we'll be sure to continue what it is that you see for the future, old wise sage Dr. Michael Savage. The book is called Trickle Down Tyranny: Crushing Obama's Dream of the Socialist States of America. Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, all major book retailers. Savage Nation is the radio show, third largest in the country, and you can also get the listings at michaelsavage.com. Make sure you listen, as I did when I was driving in New York on WOR. I felt like I was listening to a really good corned beef on rye.
Thanks for the compliment.
I appreciate it, Dr. Savage. Continued success to you, sir.
Jerry, God bless you. Thanks, and I hope your mom's well.
Savage.
Radio network. One, you're an independent syndicator. Two, I work with the best team in talk radio. They know me. They're like my friends. All the guys in the back room. It's unbelievable to me. This is a family. This is a team. We are the Yankees of talk radio. So I've always been a news fanatic. So I would sit and eat that steak and the potatoes and the cherry vanilla ice cream as a kid, and then I'd watch the news with the liar Walter Cronkite. I had no idea I was being brainwashed by a left-wing fanatic. Years later, I wrote about him. I called him Walter Crankenhouse, because that's where he belonged,
Uncle Walter. How did I know the man was a diehard leftist fanatic? Nevertheless, as a kid, I'd watch the news, and I remember there was a weather vane, and it would say north, east, west, and south. And I remember learning that the word news, I never knew where the word news came from. I learned later on in life it was an acronym for nothing. It didn't mean anything. It was the weather vane, north, east, west, and south. So the news means that you're getting stories from all points of the globe. That's what the news should be, right? All stories, all points of the globe. What's of interest? Now, how do you rank what's of interest and what's of importance? That becomes the bias, right? Now, I bias things to the order of nationalism, patriotism, liberty. The press has now become almost a wholly owned subsidiary of the Obama administration. Do I have to spell out that the Associated Press now is an arm of the Obama administration? Nakedly so. Do I have to point out that Fox News has now been put in a position where they're hiring Jesse Jackson's daughter for no other reason than they want to placate the Obama administration because Murdoch is under fire? You know, I wrote about it. I actually defended Murdoch. It's a strange thing, even though, see, I'm a fair-minded guy. I'm boycotted by Fox News for my entire life, and yet I write a chapter on the Murdoch situation, and I take Murdoch's side, not hoping to get anything out of it. I guess that makes me stupid in a way. Because most people think about what they can get out of everything. But I have a chapter, Tyranny of the Government Media Complex, that's a very important chapter because I talk about the Soros-Murdoch media war. And I felt that you have to know what's going on and how billionaire media mogul Murdoch is being attacked by George Soros because it's a battle of the titans. You see? It's a very, very important story. I'm not going to read it to you. I won't read things on the air if I can avoid it unless it's directly relevant. But what I'm saying is you have to read that chapter to understand why I wrote it. Tyranny of the Government Media Complex. That's what we're living in right now. The Soros-Murdoch Media War. Very important chapter. And I write it by saying I am no friend of Rupert Murdoch. And the dislike is mutual. The media baron who owns the Fox News Channel, the Wall Street Journal, and many other newspapers and television outlets in the United States, the UK, Australia, and Asia doesn't like me. Fox News doesn't cover my speeches or follow up on the scoops on my radio show. I'm never invited to appear on its cable news network. I could drop dead and Murdoch wouldn't care, and I don't owe Fox or Murdoch anything either. Like I said, I'm not a friend of Murdoch, and it is not my job to write a legal defense of that strange media mogul, but I call them as I see them. So in the interest of fair and balanced assessment of the news, I then go into the entire story of the attack on Murdoch. Who is behind it? And you know who's behind it. Do I have to even say the name? It begins with an O and ends with an A, in my opinion. And therefore, it's an important chapter in trickle-down tyranny, the hacking scandal. And what they're trying to do is destroy Murdoch, and they have him basically in a vice. So that's important. How about taxation without representation? Obama's Leninist tactics continue with the seizure of American wealth, though his method of seizing property is less direct than Lenin's. Lenin simply sent his thugs out to seize the property of Russian citizens who didn't want to give everything to the ruling party. Agents of the Soviet government would enter a village and systematically take all the meager possessions of its inhabitants. These included virtually all clothing, from jackets and trousers and dresses to shoes and winter underwear. Obama doesn't send his thugs directly into Americans' homes. He simply taxes us into poverty. Since he took office, Obama has added 21 new taxes on Americans. Now, I want to go to Obamacare and taxation. Every time I see a wealthy Democrat making millions of dollars in the media saying, people have to pay their fair share, I mean, it's a simple answer. Why don't you just pay more? What are you telling others what to do? For example, if I were on any of the nighttime talk shows, which I will never be invited on, nor would I appear on, and they started in with me of, well, why don't you want to pay your fair share? I would say, Jay or David, why don't you just pay more taxes instead of mouthing the Obama line? What's wrong with you? By the way, Jay or Dave, when did you last have a minority to dinner? When did you last have a dinner party where minorities were present, Dave? Okay? So, you know, these people are such hypocrites, it's sickening. But there's nothing new about any of that. You've known this before.
Savage.
The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I was thinking about that. To the hardcore liberal Democrat, he's the angel, and to the conservative, he's the devil. The country's broken down along this fracture line. You know what I'm saying? It's fractured. The country is more divided than ever in my lifetime. I mean, I lived through the 60s. It was pretty bad then. I lived through the Vietnam War, and I saw what the vermin did to this country at that time. And there was almost a civil war in this country. You might say we had a second civil war in the 60s. You remember the killings at Kent State and whatnot. I believe that this president wants something along those lines in order to make sure that votes are suppressed, number one, and that he can justify doing things, number two. So you can see which camp I'm in. Now, is it because of his race? I would have to think about it in order to justify the fact that I don't believe so. Can I say 100% no about anything? No, I can't. I'm a rational man. I'm a scientist by training. If you said to me that Alan West was president and he's a black man, I would think that it'd be a better country. So what would that make me, a racist? Or is it based on political ideology? To me, it's pure political ideology. I think Clarence Thomas is a wonderful man. I have said so for 15 years because politically I agree with him. I don't look at a man's race when it comes to that. I look at their politics, their intelligence, and their demeanor. That's how I've always been. So I have to just explore my own motivations. And I think I'm pretty clear on where I come from. Of course, those on the other side would argue that anybody who disagrees with Obama is doing it because they don't want a black man in the White House. That's the kind of stuff I saw on the Amazon where they plant, you know, they plant stuff. There's so many news stories. It's shocking out there. But before I go on to your calls, which are so very important to everyone listening to the show, because we're getting flooded with calls from people who are saying that the book has been buried facing the back of the store. And we're going to try and fix this. I raised a blockbuster today, which is the take-home message. I'm going to try and do one a day that you can remember. I told you that U.S. elections results are no longer processed by an American company. I told you they're now processed by SCYTL, a company based in Spain. I told you this compromises the process enormously. I said that we can no longer be sure that our election results are trackable. I said that this is very likely the final step in Barack Obama's corruption of the voting process. I said this has the potential to enable him and his cohorts to control the outcomes of federal elections with no accountability. I wrote all of this on page 25 on the vote rigging and trickle-down tyranny. If I were Abby Hoffman, I would tell you to go and tear that page out of the book and send it around, but I'd rather you don't. Okay? A, I'm not Abby Hoffman. B, buy the book and show the page to others. I don't believe in vandalism. New York, Peter, I think you're a winner. Go ahead, please. Tell us who SCYTL is.
Yes, hi, Dr. Savage. The board of directors actually is Carlos Furr, Bernard Leotard, Albert Furr, Peter Holmes, Per Vallis. And basically, they're all, it looks like, retired venture capitalists.
Right, but they're all from Europe, aren't they?
That's absolutely correct. I'm trying to do a little investigating on them.
Carlos Ferrar is the general partner of Norta Capital.
That's right.
That's number one. He lives in he's Italian. Bernard Leotard, partner of Balderton Capital, another venture firm, French. Albert Ferrar Oliveras, investment manager of Grupo Financiero Riva y Garcia, another Spaniard. Peter Holmes, director of Intellect for UK Trade Association. He's a Brit. Per Vallis, CEO of SCYTL, Spanish. There's not one American person on the board of directors of this company that controls the outcome of our voting. How is that possible? How could SOE, a U.S. elections results company, be permitted to sell it to a holding company in Europe? Who permitted this?
Well, someone's lining someone's pockets somewhere. So
I want to know where the Republicans are on this. Okay, can anyone answer that question? Now, if I know this, I'm only a talk show host. Ordinary guy. I'm not as brilliant as Matt Rummey. Matt Rummey. I'm mixing up. I'm not as brilliant as Matt Rummey. I am not as smart as Sanctorum. I certainly wasn't up to a neuron or to the girded one. But the truth is I do the best I can with my limited abilities. And my limited abilities are questioning how it is that our votes could be processed by a Spanish holding company. Where were the Republicans when this occurred? Why has there been no investigation by the Federal Elections Commission? Why are the American people in the dark about this? How do you live in a country where you don't even know if your vote is even counted properly? Why is it that the Associated Press doesn't even cover this story? I have 500 questions. Do you have even one answer? How many times have I been wrong on this show? Almost never. Now, I have told you for over a year now that the Fort Hood shooting suspect, the Muslim major, Nidal Hassan, who in cold blood assassinated 13 soldiers and shot 32 other people, has not yet been tried because Obama does not want this trial to come to light until after the election. Fort Hood's shooting suspect seeks trial delay again. The judge, Colonel Gregory Gross, previously delayed the trial from March until June. Nidal Hassan's attorneys want another delay until after the elections. Okay, why do you think Obama wants the Fort Hood massacre buried until after the election? Well, just say the word Hussein. And remember that the crackers are liable to put two and two together, and no matter how many times he has a prayer breakfast in the White House, a goodly portion of people in the backwater states of anywhere west of the Hudson River, anyone who doesn't go to a nightclub till 5 in the morning in New York, you know, in other words, people without teeth who might have appeared in the movie Deliverance to the fine folks of Manhattan, those folks are liable to keep saying that Obama's not really a Christian no matter what he says. So if you have a bookstore horror story when you went to buy your trickle-down tyranny, I'd like to hear it. By the way, that guy, Peter, gets the three books, Doug. Make sure. I live up to my word to the best I can, okay? Ring the bell again. Let's do it. Yeah, ring. Okay. That's what you get if you win the book. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. West Virginia, Jody. Go ahead. What's your bookstore story?
Hi. When I went in to go to the bookstore, they have your book on a table when you first walk in, and the next table right next to it is Everything from Obama. You can get his Dreams book, his Audacity of Hope, everything.
Oh, I see. Even though the books are no longer current, they're prominently displayed in time for the competition with this one.
Exactly.
Well, you know what, Jody? It's a free country. People are entitled to do what they want in a store. It's not government controlled. And so they're entitled to display any book they want. But I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for being such a good soldier of the Savage Nation. New York, Deborah, welcome to the Savage Nation. Topic, please.
Hello, Dr. Savage.
Yes.
I went into Howell today, Howell, New Jersey, and I went into Barnes & Noble, and I said, I'm looking for Dr. Savage's book, Trickle Down Tyranny. He goes, what book? I said, so she said to me, well, I first got to see what, you know, if we have it or not.
Right.
And then I walked down a little midway to the store, and the display towards in the middle, it was like hidden between other books. It was like 8 books they had there and facing the back of the store.
So, okay, that's it. You're facing that. You're winning it. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
A Trickle Down Tyranny.
Bingo. See, another winner. I'm only going to do this for a few days. As you well know, Fox News will not have me on until they hired Jesse Jackson's daughter as a broadcaster. That's right. And she was hired specifically because she's such a fine intellect. She has such a sterling delivery. She has a degree in, we don't know exactly what, probably something very advanced, perhaps in nuclear physics. But Murdoch is so desperate he hired Jesse Jackson's daughter for Fox News. Fox News Channel's hired Jesse Jackson's eldest daughter, Chicago host Santita Jackson as an on-air contributor. This is to make sure that Murdoch is not walking the plank when the Justice Department brings him up on charges of something or other. Now, if you could believe this is what's going on in this country, that they're that politically oriented, well, okay, you got this. You got this. You know that O'Reilly will go to dinner with her and says that she's amazing. Remember when O'Reilly went to dinner with Al Sharpton and he came back and he said he's a nice guy? He actually can use a knife and a fork, and he didn't realize how racist that was? It was astounding to me. I mean, this is a lifetime contract because Fox fires her no matter what her ratings are. They'll be sued for discrimination. But worse than that, the Justice Department will put Murdoch away for years. You know, it's amazing to me how much of the news is now orchestrated about the coup of America and the cover-up. It's unbelievable to me. The media is being censored both within and from without. Wait, hang on before I go.
Mother's Day is coming up. Now is the time to show all the moms in our lives how much we appreciate them. Our mothers, mothers-in-laws, wives. Now's the time to make them feel special with a beautiful floral bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. Don't settle for less. Send the best. Moms are going to love the rose and lily bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. She'll love this beautiful bouquet from 1-800-Flowers.com. 1-800-Flowers.com has a very special offer just for my listeners. You order the rose and lily bouquet and you get a free clear vase for only $34.99. That's $25 off the regular price. For this or other Mother's Day offers, go to 1-800-Flowers.com. Click on the radio microphone in the upper right corner and enter Savage. Or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my last name, Savage.
Savage.
Fresno, California. David, you want to call about the vote rigging and the company that controls the counting of the votes. David, what do you know?
Yes, sir. When I heard you ask the question, I went ahead and did some Google searches. And it turns out the CEO of FCYTL, the former CEO of GlobalNet, who and vice president as well, and his name is Pierre Val. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. P-E-R-R-E.
Yes, he's the CEO of SCYTL that controls our votes.
Yes, sir. Also was a major Obama contributor to his presidential campaign. Apparently, he contributed the maximum allowable amount to Obama's inauguration campaign.
Oh, I see. I also see that Mr. Vallès, Pierre Vallès, was involved in the Titan Corporation. Wait a minute. Hold it. Becoming one of the leading providers of voice over IP in the world and was instrumental in the successful sale of the company to the Titan Corporation, a New York Stock Exchange defense company. Oh, the government media complex and the military industrial complex. That's how it works. Huh. Providing financial and strategic consulting, blah, blah, blah. Bachelor's degree in economics and a bachelor's degree in law from the University of Barcelona. I never heard of the University of Barcelona, do you? Apparently, they give out degrees in Barcelona. He also worked at KPMG. What's KPMG? Is that a mergers and acquisitions company? Kohlberg? No, that's not Kohlberg Kravitz. Nevertheless, the issue is for you to take home is that our votes are now being counted by a company that has supercomputers that are controlled by a Spanish holding company. Ask Mr. Ramney about that. How does he do that? You win a copy, David. If you name it, you gain it. What's the name of the book?
Trickle Down Tyranny.
Bing, another winner. The next time Romney gives a speech somewhere, ask him about it. Don't read the Book of Mormon at one of his meetings. He has every right not to talk about his religion, incidentally. It's not your business, incidentally, any more than it was our business to ask Mr. Obama about his years in the madrasas. So, therefore, leave his religion alone. Frankly, it's his business. Secondly, I'm glad he's a Mormon because he's a devout Christian and he's a good man. I know many let's not go into this because I still don't understand this division. I never understand religious wars. I don't want anything to do with them. I see Jews who hate other Jews. I see Orthodox Jews who hate other Orthodox Jews. I see liberals who hate conservative Jews. I never saw anything like this. Catholics with the Protestants and now you got leave me out of the religion part of it. I don't live in a theocracy. I don't live in Iran, thank you. I don't care what Romney believes in.
He's a good man. He was a missionary. That's all I care about. Is he got a, he's a good guy, nice family. Let it go at that. Because now we're going to get into something that we shouldn't even be talking about. Unless you want to go into it, then ask Obama about his Muslim years. He had every right to do what his father asked him to do and to be a devout Muslim as a youngster. He had every right to do that. He had every right to come to America and see that there was nothing, you know, no advantage to being a Muslim and becoming a Christian in Reverend Wright's church. He had every right to become a sort of a an extremist in that church and sit there for 20 years. He had every right to do it. It's a free country. He could have gone to the Nation of Islam's church, or mosque, whatever, if he wanted to. It's his business. It's a free country. And just because Reverend Wright and Louis Farrakhan were good friends, and just because Louis Farrakhan lived near the Obamas doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with it. He has every right to associate with who he wants. In America, you have free association. See? Now, if Mitt Romney had associated with a Ku Klux Klan member, I suppose the Associated Press wouldn't think very much of that. And if he had sat in a church where a KKK member in a white sheet had espoused vile statements for 20 years, I suspect we would have heard about it by now, but since none of that is true, we won't be hearing about that.
Talk radio is not a dying medium. It is stronger than ever. It is stronger than it's ever been before. In my 16 years in radio, and we're going to be, as Harry Truman said, give him you know what for the next couple of years. That's our job. Our job is to be watchdogs, not to be lapdogs. And I want to thank you for giving me total and absolute freedom to do so. That's the point I'm trying to make. I wouldn't have lasted a week with another syndicator. I could never have sat down after a show and been deconstructed where they say, well, you said this, tomorrow don't say that. That would have been the end of it for me. I've had total freedom. I need total freedom to function. I'm going to breathe a sigh of relief that we have this year to look forward to together. It's had its ups and downs. But right now, we have seen the talk radio and the Savage Nation are responsible for the mighty blow that is being struck against socialism in America. And I believe this will grow when it forces the Democrats off the political landscape for having introduced Democrat socialism and worse to the United States of America.
Savage.
You're listening to an encore segment of Michael Savage.
I want you to listen to this interview that I did on my new book, Trickle Down Tyranny, now a bestseller.
Joining us now, Michael Savage, my friend, radio host extraordinaire, author of the brand new New York Times bestseller, number three on the list, Trickle Down Tyranny, Crushing Obama's Dream of a Socialist States of America. Michael, how are you?
Diane Sawyer is, by the way, contrary to public opinion, not Tom Sawyer's grandmother.
what did you make of that?
No, it's so absurd. You know what it is. It's like she's poor all of a sudden. She's down with the people. She's part of the 99%, Diane Sawyer. You know what I'm saying? You know, this is so ludicrous. Who would believe a word that this harridan says? You know, I looked up the word tyrant since my book, Trickle Down Tyranny, seems to be popular. People don't understand that it's not hype, it's reality. Why do I refer the commander-in-chief that we have today as a tyrant as opposed to a president? If you look at the root of the word tyrant, if you look at the root of the word tyrant, see, it's all about how you say it. It's from the Greek, a lord, sovereign, master. Now, doesn't Obama come across as a lord, sovereign, master, Laura? Rather than a president of the people, by the people, and for the people.
No, he's a self-imposed, self-created monarch. But as we heard yesterday on Capitol Hill, the real despot is Mitt Romney. We actually have a congressman. Play the soundbite, please. A congressman referring to Mitt Romney as the true despot here. Let's listen.
You know, when we look at despots from foreign countries putting their money in Swiss bank accounts, we always have frowned upon that. And I don't see us saying that people of wealth, especially people wanting to be president of the United States and parking money in a Swiss bank account.
Swiss bank account.
Oh, come on. Who is
account.
That clown?
James
who is that?
Clyburn. James Clyburn, who has become, you know, he's a powerful spokesman for the
Isn't
left.
Isn't Clyburn the same one who said, let's take out the Tea Party along with the other members of the Congressional Black Caucus?
No, I think certainly... Certainly, we've seen them fully exposed in recent years. But
not to lose the thread of the show, and meaning of your time, and I don't want to waste it. The fact of the matter is we're living through desperate times with Obama. This is not a laughing matter. It's not a matter of Republican versus Democrat or even Romney versus Obama. It's a choice between America or something other than America. Obama has claimed over and over again he's a transformational president, and he has not yet begun to fight. He said he will do so in his second term. What does that mean? What is the model he's using, Laura? Is it Beijing? Is it Caracas? Is it Syria? What is he using as a model for the country he wants to create? That's why I say trickle-down tyranny is the last chance that I think I'm going to have to alter the course of human history. This man is a clear and present danger to the survival of this republic, and I put my career on the line with this book, Laura. You know the danger I put myself in by saying things like this. These are dangerous people.
Oh, you think they're going to physically harm you?
No comment.
Hmm.
I know that they're trying to destroy me in radio. I know that they're trying to destroy you in radio.
They have to shut down any real opposition. That's what a tyranny does, and that's how they operate, and that's how individuals who can't actually be judged on their records have to operate. They have to destroy the opposition.
Well, the whole conservative listener base has always feared the so-called fairness doctrine. Obama is so many steps ahead of that, it's not funny. I was told through an insider who was sitting in on a meeting just last week, and I'll never divulge the sources, through a third party, that your name, my name, and the others right up to Rush, there were four of us, in the top four shows in the country, are being targeted by the Obama administration for removal from the air, not by hurting us, but by going to the station group owners and putting pressure on them that if they don't drop our show, certain things will happen. If this is not tyranny, I'd like to know what is, Laura.
An intimidation campaign.
Sounds familiar, doesn't it?
No, it certainly does. And I think everyone listening to the show, I think you can hear the tone of my voice and hear Michael's voice. We're deadly serious about this. And if people want to sit on the sidelines and say, oh, there's nothing I can do about it, just the way it is, then be prepared to lose your country. And you asked what country he's modeling the United States on. Well, an interesting development, which you may or may not have seen, Michael, Argentina moving to seize control of one of the major oil companies in Argentina. Argentina's president, Fernandez de Kirchner, announced Monday that the government would seize a majority stake in YPF, the nation's largest oil company. And they're doing so, of course, for the public good, nationalizing major industries.
Polarizing president in our history. The only question I ask in trickle-down tyranny is, what does he want to transform this country into? Caracas, Beijing, Moscow, Tehran? What in the world is his model? What is his model? Print more money, cripple American taxpayers with unlimited debt, ship weapons to Mexico, hobble the most powerful military in the world? What are you doing to stop Iran from knocking the Jews off the planet, Mr. Obama? In trickle-down tyranny, I say, listen, okay, let's put it this way, Laura. You've got a huge audience, right? So let me ask the Democrats and the independents amongst Laura Ingraham's audience the following question, okay? Do you think that this country today under Obama is a land where poverty is rewarded? Check yes. Is it a country where success is punished, as you showed with Diane Sawyer? Even that Harrington is making believe she's on the side of the loser? Yes. Is it a country now under Obama where our worst enemies are praised but our allies like Israel are stiffed? Check yes. Is it a country where the military is used as a pawn? Check yes. Is it a country where our borders are descending into chaos? Check yes. And finally, Laura, is it a nation where corporations and cronies are making off with all the wealth, such as Warren Buffett with his buffet rule? Check yes. Don't you love how Warren Buffett visits the White House, gets an insider tip, invests in Bank of America the next day, makes $300 million or so,
and then gives a speech that we should all pay more. I mean, I love it, Laura. It's just a great no play here right out of ancient Japan.
It's so predictable from the too big to fail flop of this administration. Oh, well, we can't let the banks get too big because then one goes down and the whole economy goes down. Five banks are controlling more wealth than ever. Five top banks in the United States, bigger than they were than before the financial crisis. So in every objective metric, the administration has failed. Even the tests that it set up for itself, it's failed. And yet we're led down this road of likability. Oh, he's more likable. His wife is so nice. She does all the stuff for the troops. And isn't it great we're working out and eating better and the likability. And Mitt Romney is not relatable. And he doesn't relate to the people.
I think he does. I think they're wrong, Laura. Come on. They know that Mitt Romney's far more attractive than President Obama. We're not talking about race here. We're talking about likability. Mitt Romney's a genuinely nice person. Yes, he's a moderate Republican. Yes, he's a liberal Republican. Yes, he's too liberal for my taste. But nevertheless, I would sleep better at night. And frankly, so would most of America sleep better at night with Mitt Romney in the White House. We have no idea where Obama's loyalties lie, do we?
Well, I think we know one thing. Where they certainly don't lie in the free market and capitalism. And all of this is designed to bring capitalism to heel and reinvigorate the sense of a government in control of the people, and that the only way that people can be saved is by government means and government programs. And the more people you can get to buy into that, the more they'll want to tax the rich people to keep fueling the thing that helps them, which is the government. So it's all a self-fulfilling prophecy of doom.
You know, remember the stimulus project?
Unfortunately,
billions of dollars, right? Funded by the economic stimulus legislation by Obama in 2009.
Yeah.
A shovel-ready project in San Francisco to move one shrub cost $205,000. To translocate one shrub in the path of a highway, $205,000. So when you heard from Obama's minions that these are shovel-ready projects, well, they were telling the truth, Laura, because they meant it was a project in which they could shovel money into their bank accounts and into the bank accounts of their contractor friends. Remember the number, $205,000 to translocate one shrub from the path of a stimulus project highway in San Francisco. It's all in Michael Savage's new smasheroo.
Congratulations
tyranny.
On the book, man. That's fantastic.
Laura, let me tell you, Laura, without you, I have no other outlets. You know that I'm banned on virtually every show in America.
Well, I'm not for banning. I really don't ban. I mean, I guess I could have more liberals on the show. I invite them on. They don't usually want to come. But I don't like banning unless someone is purposely profane or I don't really think that serves
a
purpose.
No, then they get invited to the White House. No, if they're purposely profane and hate America, they get invited to the Rose Garden.
Yeah, they get shows on HBO on a Friday night, like
absolutely.
Bill Maher, trashing Ann Romney.
It's a world upside down, Laura. It's a world upside down. If you're a person of achievement with education, you're not welcome joint on the in the Rose Garden. It's unbelievable to me. It's as though we have gone through that revolution that Mao Zedong promised the Chinese, and you know where that led.
60 million dead. Yeah, 55 million, 57 million. Now we have a situation where the kids are more mature than the parents by telling the parents, hey, you know, make an honest woman out of her. Get married, Dad. That's apparently what happened with Brad and Angelina. Upside down world, Michael.
Why are we reading about a publicity stunt for 1 week at the same time Obama has destroyed NASA, bungled North Korea? I mean, think about this. The greatest foreign policy disaster in his career was North Korea launching a rocket, basically putting a finger up in the air saying, we don't care what you say. This is on the heels of the Arab Spring blowing up into the Arab winter. Hillary Clinton's greatest policy disasters, seen swilling beer in Cartagena, Colombia, like, you know, let's all party on, you know, on the deck of the Titanic. This is one foreign policy disaster after another, all covered up by the midstream media about a stupid actor and his engagement ring.
Well, it's the purposeful distraction of the electorate during a campaign season where the incumbent Democrat favorite son president is, by any objective standard, a failure. And so
midstream media. Midstream media.
Yeah, keep the public focused on all the things that don't matter. Whether what's going to happen to American Idol next year? You know, well, we're living through American Idol, okay? But guess what? Our votes might not count. You actually have more chance of affecting the American Idol outcome, a lot of people think, than you have a chance at affecting this election. That's a sad thing.
Laura,
Michael, you can close it out. We got 20 seconds, my friend.
Here we go. Trickle-down tyranny. One paragraph is worth the entire book. Take a guess who's counting your votes. A Spanish firm. A Spanish holding firm owns the vote counting machines. Check it out, folks.
Savage.
We met in a dream.
What month is this? What year is it? Where am I? What's the next holiday the average worker has to look forward to? Now, the average person sitting on a couch collecting a food stamp and a government check and the government cheese, every day is a holiday for them. And so April, what is the next? Is July, the next holiday is Memorial Day weekend, right? Oh, my God. The average worker works so hard in this country. It's frightening. It really is. It's hard making a living in this country supporting the Obama voters. It really is murder. Like, you know, he ain't heavy father, he's my brother. All right, let's take some callers on the Savage Nation. New York City, WOR. Taylor, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Savage. My name's Taylor. I'm a young conservative. I'm actually from Long Island. I've been reading Trickle Down Tyranny, and I'm up to the part where you're talking about this whole Soros versus Rupert Murdoch thing. And it really, you know, it inspires me. I've heard about conspiracy theories my whole life, but when you talk about it, in this book, it doesn't sound like a conspiracy theory. This stuff sounds real. And I just want to hear more of your take on this whole New World Order thing.
Mm-hmm. So how old are you, Taylor?
21 years old.
And how did you become a conservative that you're even reading a book of mine? I mean, you should be smoking a joint and watching a sporting match, shouldn't you?
Well, I used to be smoking joints and doing all those drugs, and I was a diehard liberal who supported Obama and everything he did. But I realized after I quit the drugs that I became much more conservative. Actually,
now you know why they want medical marijuana approved in 50 states, because the dopier they are, the more easily they are gulled into believing this man is not a communist and that he's out for the interests of the average American worker. Now you understand everything you ever needed to know. I'm sending you a free copy of Trickle Down Tyranny for the next liberal girl that you meet in a... well, I don't know where you go now. I can't imagine. I don't think you go to AA meetings or anything, but 21 years old and conservative. I can't imagine what he'll be like at 40. Oh, God. Can you imagine if you're conservative at 21, what you'll be at 30, then 40, then 50? This guy at 70 will be a member of some far, far something. There's a far, far righter place I go than I've ever... There's a far, far righter place I go than I've ever been. I can't yell on the show, because if I yell, I risk alienating the new tone of radio. Now it has to be civil. It has to be very civil. Only the other side's allowed to yell and scream and curse and attack you. Racial bias suit against top cop tossed. Oh, good news. An officer collapses in courtroom after jury rejects accusations of 7 black policemen against Richmond Police Chief Chris Magnus. That's the latest racket. They hire black people because they're forced to by the Justice Department. Then they're sued for being racist because they didn't make him a police chief the first year. Contra Costa, California jury rejected accusations of racial discrimination filed by 7 black police officers against Richmond Police Chief Chris Magnus, throwing out all claims of harassment and bias and awarding no damages. Oh, well, there's a case for the reverends. They got to come in now and override the jury. You got to bring in Reverend Wrong and Reverend Jackson and Reverend High Jackson and Reverend Low Jackson and Reverend Mo Jackson and Reverend whatever Jackson. So the plaintiff collapsed in his seat. One of the plaintiffs collapsed. I guess he isn't going to get that vacation in Boca Raton with a fortune based upon what his lawyer told him. The jury also cleared now-retired Deputy Chief Lori Ritter and the City of Richmond of wrongdoing in the case.
Both are white. In the racial discriminate lawsuit, they were all sued for $18 million in comp. Why? They said that after taking office, the white officer quickly favored staff that was not African-American, including promoting Ritter over black officers, and made racially insensitive remarks, blah, blah, blah. His attorney countered that the plaintiffs resented him because he was white, gay, and an out. Oh, now there's the new battle going on. Richmond put in a gay white man as police chief, so he's attacked by blacks now. You hear this? This is amazing what's going on. It's the left eating the left. No one wins in a case like this. I don't see winners or losers. There's no winners or losers in this kind of hatred. The only winner is the lawyer. This is a big deal, what's going on. There's a low-grade race war going on in America because Obama wants it to happen. This is how he survives, through division, through strife, turning one group against another. So this case now, no racial bias by Richmond, California police chief. Seven black police officers against white police chief Chris Magnus, who was gay. They lose because the city didn't cave into a settlement to their shyster lawyer. They lose. And one of these seven black officers collapses in his chair. Why would he collapse? Just because they lost? I mean, he saw the Mercedes already and the vacation in Boca, the house, the vacation. It's a big lawsuit. Wait, hang on before I go. Back in September, we all paused to remember the 9/11 attacks. That one day changed the very way we all live and think. In fact, the Red Cross now recommends that we have a surplus of food in case of disaster, weather, or power outages. That's why I recommend and personally use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides affordable and complete delicious ready-made meals for emergencies or even camping. I know more about food than anybody in radio. I have a PhD from the University of California in nutrition. These foods are nutritionally sound for good health. Visit WiseFoodStorage.com. Get a free entree sample by entering the promo code SAVAGE, and then you'll get free shipping on any order. SAVAGE. WiseFoodStorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE, and be sure to mention SAVAGE for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with WiseFoodStorage.com.
Savage.